Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're zeroing in on bicycles today. Wisconsinites love biking. According to the Wisconsin Bike Federation, bicycling boosts our state's economy by $1.5 billion every year. And that's a big number. And so we're going to be talking about maybe a little about that, but really about biking in general with our two guests today, Brent Bauman. Brent, thanks for coming by today.
All right. Thanks for having me.
He is the operations manager at Two Rivers Bicycle and Outdoor in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, and fellow employee Dale Astrike. Dale,
welcome. How are you doing?
Great.
Good.
He does sales and repairs, bikes, and organizes group rides, so they know a whole lot about bikes and bicycling. So we'll talk with them about picking out a bike, how to keep it in good shape, where to ride. We'll also look at some of the hot trends in cycling as well. So what biking questions do you have? Do you have safety concerns? Questions about what kind of bike would work best for you, maybe? Join in the conversation. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Well, you guys are both in pretty good shape, so I expect you to do a lot of biking yourself. Oh, man. Dale, how'd you get going on biking? It was way back when?
Way back when the yellow jersey was down on State Street.
Oh.
Got one from Andy, got an old Motobacon, and I've been biking ever since about 75, I guess.
So
did a lot of commuting on that bike, did a lot of riding. So.
Brent, what about you?
I grew up riding bikes like any kid in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and, you know, like I think a lot of folks at about 16, got a car, got away from it a little bit, and then last year of college, my roommate bought a bike, and he kind of loaded me into this old steel Centurion and said, hey, let's try this, and I'd been a runner for years, and I got on that, and it was like, oh, this is fun. This is fast. And it's kind of been, you know, just all out since then.
And so you guys both work for Two Rivers Bicycle and Outdoor in Fort Atkinson. Tell us about that organization, business.
Sure. We're a full-service sales and repair bike shop out in Fort Atkinson, really a kind of family-focused, community-focused bike shop. We're there for to kind of help people at any level, from kids to adults, recreational cyclists to racers. Really kind of get out and be able to serve the community in that way.
You know, I was seeing a lot of reports that there's more interest in biking or bicycling. Are you guys seeing it in your own business or growth in biking?
Oh, it does seem that way. We have sold a lot of bikes this year. We have been all along, but we've had a lot of interest, a lot of people upgrading their bicycles, a lot of people doing things like commuting or even bike camping or credit card camping, where you ride somewhere and you stay at a motel or a hotel in a town and stay there and ride back or ride to a next destination. There's a lot of that. That's a lot of fun to do all that stuff.
So it's a good trend. What about the bikes themselves? How are the bikes today better than they were 10 years ago?
Well,
what about it, Dale?
All the equipment has changed. The equipment has really changed a lot. Seats are so much nicer. Helmets are so much nicer. The bikes just are more comfortable. A lot of bikes are a lot more upright. So as we're getting a little older, they're a little bit easier on your body. You're not quite as bent over as some of the old road bikes that what we knew as 10 speeds, where you were really down riding those things. Even the drop handlebars like that are, a lot of them are much more upright, a lot more forgiving to your older body.
Well, Jake in Madison already has a question or comment, so let's go there. Jake, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I just want to bring up really in the conversation about I'm off of bikes and have recently gotten rid of two of my three bikes. However, I know that there are issues for bike riders in the streets sometimes, and that there are drivers on the street that don't pay any attention to courtesy for bike riders. At the same time, there are a lot of bicyclists that will ride up and down the sidewalks and nearly clip off people that come out of storefronts and places like that. It might not be such a such a big issue in smaller towns, but it is in a larger city. How can the message be brought across to bicyclists that it's important for them to pay attention to the rules and that bicyclists actually belong in the street rather than where pedestrians are walking?
All right, Jake, thanks a lot for calling. Well, he raises an issue that you guys probably have dealt with many a time, I would guess. Dale?
Right. The little cities, too, people riding on the sidewalks just is not a good thing. And we do try and tell people that. We tell the bicyclists when we sell bikes that they are vehicles. They are supposed to follow all the same rules as a vehicle. Riding on sidewalks is just a bad thing. You don't expect people to be going that fast on the sidewalks. There's so many blind corners. There's bushes and stuff like that. It just is not a good thing to do. And we have the same problem. I lead a lot of rides, and I try at the beginning of all the rides to mention to people to be courteous, to ride on the right side of the road.
Don't ride three abreast.
Don't ride. You know, it actually is. You can ride two abreast in Wisconsin, but you are supposed to move over when traffic is behind. So it is legal, but it's, you know, you need to be courteous. And one thing we really do believe in is using the new LED lights, the new bright tail lights, so people see you. We believe in wearing high visibility clothing, all those things. So. You know, motorists see us better and realize that we are out there and we're, you know, trying to get some exercise and just be courteous, right?
And helmets, you didn't mention helmet right there, but helmet design, are helmets better in your mind than they were earlier, Brent?
Yeah, helmets have made huge strides in the past, we'll even say like 10 years. One in just the materials that they're made out of. One of the focuses, helmet is designed to do a few things. You know, they're all kind of made out of a foam that's designed to protect you from, you know, the impact, right? So let's protect your skull from a hard impact or something like that. But what they've done, and you've just seen this in sports in general, is a lot more focus on concussion prevention. So a lot of the helmets that you're seeing these days, they've put a lot of work into not only how do we protect you from the impact, but how do we slow down the deceleration of that impact to help prevent concussions. And that's one of the big things when folks are out looking for helmets that they should really be aware of is it's not just kind of the outside foam material that's on there, but it's also the other technology going into it to protect against that sort of concussion stuff that we all know these days.
Yeah, and what is a helmet like? What does a good helmet cost these days?
About $60 for a decent helmet, bucks. Which isn't, I mean, when you're thinking about your head, is not that much.
I cracked the helmet, my helmet once, and I was mighty glad I had a good helmet at that point.
Right.
So the other thing is fit for a helmet. Do you help people fit a helmet? I've had helmets where I'm trying to, you know, the helmet just doesn't seem to be fitting right. It gets down where I have to almost lift my head way up in order to see. What about that?
Right. That's one thing we do when people come in and buy a helmet is we get the straps set up right, just get that thing to fit them right away, because if it doesn't fit, you're not going to use it. So we've always felt that that's really important to get that helmet, the right size helmet. There's different sizes of helmets, and then to get everything adjusted right, then they're adjusted. You probably won't really need to adjust them again after that.
Yeah, heads don't get much bigger usually, unless you're a kid. Other parts of the body get bigger, right. but not the heads. Bill in Sun Prairie has something for us. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for all your great work all these years. Yesterday, I rented one of these B-cycle bikes that are electric assist in Madison. They're available at the kiosks. You just go serve yourself. And it was real fun. It was my first experience with one of those. And I still found myself pedaling a whole lot. I did the lake loop around the lake, and I just felt like it was a fun, exhilarating ride. The hills were not as hard, but you're still pushing. You're still pedaling a lot. And I felt like I got a really good workout. So I'd be interested in their take on these bikes and if the price is going to come down, because they're awful expensive.
Yeah. Brent, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one of the biggest trends you're seeing in the bicycle industry is this move towards electric bikes. And Madison has done this with their rental fleet gone this year, completely electric assist. And so you still have to pedal, and there's an electric motor on there that when you pedal, it gives you a boost. We joke about it. It's like, oh, it's like always going downhill with the tailwind now. And here in Madison, we do have some elevation. So getting up and down, and, you know, one of the things that people maybe are concerned about when, say, commuting by bike is, oh, I don't want to get sweaty. I don't want to go that far. Electric bikes kind of level that all out for you. And they can cover every range. You can get on and you can kind of just mosey along and let the assist help you and not really break a sweat. Or you can just do what you were doing before, but it's going to really allow you to go faster or further under the same thing.
You know, you think about the kind of aging. I mean, we've got a big population of people, older folks, who, you know, are in the market right now. And I would think that if you're going to, a lot of people now, Bill didn't sound like he was an old guy or anything, but there, I would think that there'd be a lot of interest among older folks.
There really is. And people, like, we've had people who have had MS or have had Parkinson's and things like that who want to continue being active but are getting to the point where they're not anymore. We've had a few of those older people who also want to keep on going, and the electric assists really help. We've also seen that every generation, every new generation of those comes out, gets nicer and nicer and nicer. They really have improved a lot since I've been selling them, which is a few years already. So it's it's nice to see.
Susan emailed. She has a new Electra bike and is sliding forward in the seat. Her butt slides forward in the seat, I think is what she's saying. She's adjusted the height and angle, but it's still not right. Any ideas? Maybe she should try a new seat? What do you think?
It could be the seat. You can actually, on those, we sell those electric bikes, Electra electric bikes. Brand bikes at the shop. It could be, you know, that the handlebars need to come back a little bit, or the seat itself is actually where you tighten it to adjust the angle is on rails. And so you've got a couple inches of forward and back that you can adjust. So perhaps if you loosen those bolts on there with the wrench, you can slide it forward a little bit, and that might help get her in that natural position over the bike. It's a real small adjustment.
And since it's a new bike, she must have bought it from somebody.
I would guess.
Keep biking right back to whoever I
yep,
bought it from
absolutely.
And say, what the heck's going on here? Help me out.
You know, yeah, that's one of the benefits of finding a bike from your local bike shop is we'll set you up in, you know, getting it all fit for you and making sure you understand how it works and dealing with those little bit of, hey, this isn't quite what I wanted right off the bat because everybody's different, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Pat in Duluth, Minnesota, it's your turn. Hi, Pat.
Hi. I just wanted to ask, how often should someone replace a helmet? Like if that person commutes pretty much every day except for winter, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, about, 3 to 5 years, something like that. Yeah. That the foam inside of the helmet starts to dry up and get harder as they get older. So that's what we kind of have said. If your helmet is getting that many years old, you should definitely start thinking about it. Plus, the helmets are a lot more comfortable than they were even a few years ago. They just keep getting better and better, too.
And I think you'd probably add that if you're in an accident, even if the helmet, I mean, you bang your head, even if the helmet doesn't look cracked, it's probably a good time to replace it anyway.
Right. We always say about one time, and then you should be thinking about getting a new helmet because you don't know if there was some kind of damage done.
All right, there we go. Thanks a lot for that call. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. As we talk with our two guests, Brent Bauman and Dale Aestreich, they are with Two Rivers Bicycle and Outdoor in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller. Tyler Ditter, our engineer today, Jill Nadeau, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. We're talking bicycles here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you with us as we visit with two guests, Brent Bauman and Dale Aestreich, who are both with Two Rivers Bicycle and Outdoor in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin. Great to have them along. Lots of callers online. Kate emailed to say thanks for mentioning the single file rule. She constantly encounters cyclists on rural roads riding abreast, often on hills, and they don't accommodate vehicles by riding single file, which is probably what they should be doing, right?
Right, right. Especially on a hill.
especially on a hill. So thanks for that note, Kate. Appreciate it. Keenan in Wausau, your turn. Hi, Keenan.
Well, I would just like to say that it's so important to respect the road. But, I mean, a few years ago, I was hit just crossing where the sidewalk would be at a Walgreens in Wausau. And the lady left the scene. I knew her license plate number, and the officer wasn't concerned about it at all. He was a nice guy. It wasn't on him. I'm not saying that. It didn't work out at all. He said that it was all right that she had left the scene. And, you know, I'd like to say that it usually does work that way. If somebody does get hit, even if they're killed, the person driving the car gets either very little time or no time at all. So you really have to take that into consideration. I love biking. I think everybody should do it. It's a huge common ground across all people. But at the same time, you have to be aware and really be in the moment and pay attention to every little thing, because people do get hurt way too often.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Keenan. I was hit by a car once too. I in a tighter spot, and that car kept going too. I wasn't hurt too bad in that one, in that particular accident. But any comment on it?
You know, whenever you have an accident with a bicycle in a car, the bicyclist always gets the worst end of the deal. So you just have to be careful out there. You have to keep your wits about you. Real not excited about people wearing earbuds and not being able to hear traffic. That's another thing that kind of both of us are real, like, you know, you're out there and you definitely need to be aware of your surroundings.
Let's go to Holly in Ogama next. Hi, Holly.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
At the same time, about a year and a half back, and physical therapist told me, do a great job, keep doing, get on.
Oh, you're breaking up, but I've got the gist of it. Holly has some knee problems. It sounds like a surgery, some surgeries, and wondering about getting back on a bike after you have knee problems.
Sure. I had knee surgery in March. So this is something really close to me. And my wife's actually a physical therapist. And so I had my knee surgery. And within a week, even before I was able to kind of walk too much, I was back on the bike. It's one of the first things they're going to have you do as you start to rehab, because it is so low impact. And we get a lot of folks like that, too, that have knee trouble, hip trouble, other things that are converted runners, or, you know, they love being outside, they love being athletic, and a bike is a really good low impact way to do that, where maybe you couldn't before.
Yeah, it is. Would you check? I mean, does it make a difference of the bike? Maybe you've got a road bike. Is it better to be getting on something else, or just the bike, you know?
I think you know your body, right? Get the feedback. If it's painful, maybe it's time to start with something. And there's a lot of great options out there that aren't, you know, as Dale mentioned earlier, the old 10 speed, really aggressive drop bar kind of road bike to get you out and ride, that are comfortable but also efficient and fun to ride.
There you go, Holly. Thanks. Tom in Burlington, your turn. Hi, Tom.
I have a neighbor who is 91 years old, and he gets on the bike every day, stationary bike, and he watches his TV in the morning, and he rides the bike, and he also gets out at the park and rides out there too. But I wanted to bring out this point here. He says that there's a guy out there with a book that says the people shouldn't ride bikes because it affects their lower extremities. And I'd like you to address this thing with males have a certain physiology where they should have a vein in the seat. And this prevents becoming sterile and in later on in life. And I think, is it a Chinese plot that they send all these seats out here that don't have the vein in them, and these kids are bouncing on that thing and hurting that vein that's there's a vein in a male's body that's below there, and yet it hits that. So I wish you'd address that problem.
That's a good one. There are a lot of seats that are, actually do have a cutout in the middle of them. I mean, it's very common, or actually they have like a channel in there right now so there would be a channel right down the middle of the seat. That's pretty common in an awful lot of seats right now.
How are they more comfortable than they were 10 years ago or 15 years ago?
I think that there's a lot of science that goes into where to kind of put the seat for the sit bones and different people's physiology. So I think the comfort really comes down to what style of bike. The way we look at it is kind of the body position of the bike that you're riding and what seat is going to fit both the posture that you have. Are you kind of sitting straight upright like on a beach cruiser style bike, or are you sitting really far forward like the folks we see doing like the Ironman on those triathlon bikes?
Yeah.
And there's a different seat for that. And, you know, a lot of the big companies that are making these put a lot of effort into looking at the science of the pressure points and making that comfortable. So it comes down to, you know, the big seat with the big springs and the big cushion isn't always the right seat for you, depending upon what bike you're riding.
Right.
Tom, thanks again for calling. Carl in Hayward, it's your turn now. Hi, Carl.
Hi, good morning. Maybe one or two little questions here. How far do you have to give a bicyclist? You're driving your car down the road. There's a bicyclist ahead of you. What's the law as far as how much feet you have to give that bicyclist?
It's a 3 foot. The bicyclist has 3 feet from the edge of the road or from the fog line, depending upon what condition the road is in. And the car is supposed to give the bicyclist another 3 feet. So that's 6 feet out into the lane of the traffic. And the bicyclist does, if you feel like you are, things aren't safe, has the right to the whole lane of the road because you are a vehicle. I know it's a hard thing to do, but sometimes you have to move out into the road to keep people from passing in bad spots. And people complain about bicyclists being out in the road, but we also get cars that pass us on hills and things where they wouldn't do it to a tractor, but they think they're going to do it to us and they can't see. And it's unsafe for everybody at that point, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So in other words, you need to give 3 feet.
You need to give at least 3 feet. But when you're going by a bicyclist that 65 miles an hour or whatever, 3 feet still isn't a whole heck of a lot.
No, it isn't. There you go, Carl. Thanks so much. Oh, we have open lines. We'll get you on pretty quickly with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Dennis in Duluth wondered why electric bikes are so expensive. And will they be coming down in price soon? I think Dennis would like to buy one.
Sure. I mean,
what do they cost?
You know, what we have at our shop, you're going to start right around $1,500.
Okay.
With the new model that Trek came out with, which is actually a considerable drop from kind of where they were even a year ago. And part of that cost is because you're now adding a battery and you're adding an electric motor to a bicycle itself. So that is, you know, there's a lot of engineering, there's a lot of research, and there's just the cost of the batteries. I think we've seen those prices come down quite a bit as, you know, those same batteries that are used in electric vehicles and things like that get used more. And as this volume goes up, I expect you're going to see some of that come down. But you also, as you're kind of considering this, you know, it's an electric motor, it's a battery and things like that. You want it to be safe and you want it to be work consistently. So some of that cost is in just making, you know, a product that's going to work well for you and be fun to ride.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you need to, somebody wondered if you needed to charge the batteries on these, or how does it all work with an electric?
Right, they have to be charged. They charge fairly quickly. That technology, like I said before, just keeps coming along all the time. The batteries charge faster, they last longer, they're much smoother operating than they were not that long ago. So it's, you know, like anything, I believe there are some recharging ones, but I think they really get expensive, you know, to have that technology also. That's a whole nother amount of technology to put on a bicycle, you know.
So for about, what'd you say, $1,500 for the new Trek?
Yep.
And what about weight? What does it do to the weight of the bicycle?
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna add some pounds. Most of those bikes are going to be somewhere with a battery on them between 50 and 60 pounds. Some of them are a little bit lighter than that for the ones that are kind of more road bike style or made out of, you know, a lighter weight material like carbon fiber. So you are adding some weight to the bikes themselves by adding that in.
And just on regular bikes, you know, is there a price point? When you're paying more money, a lot of what you're paying for is lighter. Is that right? Or am I wrong on that?
Yes. And
so what makes a regular bike a $2,000 bike versus one that's $500?
It comes down to the materials that it's made out of. It comes down to the durability of the components themselves. And some of it is performance aspects. So do you have a wider range of gears? So is it easier? Is the harder? Is, you know, to get to some of that lightweight, certainly you have to use materials that are more expensive to manufacture and deal with. And so some of that comes in just like any other machine. You know, you can kind of have a base level machine and you can have a more exotic machine. Cars run the gamut of prices as well.
What's the range of there's no upper range.
Not really.
I don't really think there's an upper range on a bike. What's the lower range on a bike? I mean, can you get a bike for $300? That's a good bike?
Oh, sure. You can get a, you know, kind of cruiser, single speed bike in that $300 range. We sell a lot of a bike called an A20 that Trek has. It's $400. And so I think sometimes people think, you know, with a local bike shop that everything's going to be, you know, can be a little intimidating or it's going to be thousands of dollars. And I think that we really try to look at it as we want to get more people on bikes. Like Dale and I both love biking. We think it's great for a lot of reasons. And trying to kind of take away that thought that, you know, bikes have to be expensive. And we also sell used bikes. So I think that something that people don't realize is you can get a real quality used bike for a lot less than going out and buying something new.
Well, I'm going to put in a plug for the local bike shop because the local bike shops, when you go in, you've got somebody to talk to. You're not ordering it online to have it delivered. They're going, at least my experience has always been, they will seat you, they will fit you properly so you're in the right size bike the seat itself, everything that goes into the bike, you learn about right there. And then if something needs adjustment or something goes wrong, guess what? You can go back to the local bike shop, right. And the local bike shop's going to take care of you.
Even get you on the right bike because there's so many bikes out there now. And one of the first things we ask is, what are you planning on doing with this bike? What is your intent? Are you going to be riding trails? Are you going to be riding roads? Are you going to be mountain biking? There's just such a variety of bicycles out there right now that we try and dial that in and get you on the right bike. We always go, we want that you to be riding that bike, not that bike sitting in your garage.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, you don't want that for sure. Well, I'm a big fan of working with your local bike shop for sure. Sarah in the Chicago area has something for us. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. I had a question. I've been an avid cycler all my life, competitive and mountain biking, but now as I'm getting older, I'm thinking of turning towards touring, and I wonder what your guests have for suggestions on tour bikes and what the cost would be just for the basic outfit. And then along with that, do they have any recommendations for apps for either routes or just to clock your speed and, you know, your distance, if there's any apps that they've found that they would recommend? And I'll listen and take my answer off there. Thanks.
Thanks a lot for calling. And just somebody might be saying to themselves, well, what the heck's a touring bike? So start with that maybe almost.
Well, a touring bike would be a bike that you can put packs on, that you maybe can bring your gear along. There's different ways of doing the packing with gear. You can have panniers on. There's all kinds of frame bags and things that you would have to kind of look at online to see what we're even talking about, because even that has changed a lot, even in the last few years. A lot of these bikes would be a little bit more upright, like we were talking about,
yeah.
where you even a road bike or a gravel bike or an adventure touring bike. There's all these different bicycles out that there that could be a little bit more comfortable than an old racing bike, and they're a little bit more functional. There's a lot of places where you can bolt on racks and things to carry more gear. It's a lot of fun. That's kind of what I do a lot of, and I have been doing for a long time. There's a lot out there, but you're probably going to be looking at a bike probably about $1,000 or up.
Mm-hmm.
You can go anywhere with that, but you're probably not going to be able to find a nice bike like that much under $1,000. And then there's probably a couple hundred dollars worth of equipment that you're going to want to put on that bike to make it a functional, usable bicycle for that kind of thing. So $1,500 might be a fair assessment to get yourself all geared up to do some touring and things like that. And there is so much equipment out there right now. We actually are always figuring out and looking at and thinking of things we shouldn't buy.
Well, what about apps?
Ride with GPS is a great app. You can get it for free. And what's the other one?
I use an app called Strava.
Strava.
Which is S-T-R-A-V-A. And that's, I think, geared a little bit where Ride with GPS is geared more towards the touring
right.
and the mapping, the routing. Strava's a little bit more of that kind of social community around tracking your efforts and they have little things like segments, and they'll see, you'll see your friends on there and who's got the fastest segment. But it also has mapping capabilities. So those are two, I think, really big apps that folks use. RideSpot's another one that's really good
right.
for seeing other routes that other people have curated city by city. And they're all free to use, which is really nice. You can use your cell phone
right.
and put it on your bike and use that as your mapping software. Or
put it on your Garmin, whatever,
yep.
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody wondered, it was Bob and Claybanks, wondered about is there a place to recycle helmets? Do you guys recycle helmets, or is there a place or a way to recycle helmets?
I've never heard of one. I don't.
It's too bad. No way. You wish you could.
Right.
But I've never heard of one.
No.
Either. We have Douglas in Mountain, Wisconsin next. Hi, Douglas.
Hey, Larry. Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yep. I was just wanted to ask you, I'm 60 years old. I've been riding a bike my whole life. And I've had a sore rear end my whole life. I never had a bicycle that was comfortable. A mountain biking, on the trails. Riding on the trails or whatever. Never had, a bike that was designed. And the evolution of the bike. Why, in the 60s I had a Schwinn Stingray, and now I have, a Trek touring bike. But it's still the same. They're all still the same. Nothing is really that comfortable. Why isn't it that comfortable? There's nothing, the only time I'm ever comfortable riding a bicycle is when I'm standing up on the pedals.
Oh, that's not good at all, Douglas. I think you got a problem with fit, maybe, for one thing. But I don't know. What do you think, Dale?
That could be. I've got some bicycles that I can ride all day long, and I'm not uncomfortable on them. So it could be fit. It could be you don't have a nice saddle, maybe. Are you using bike shorts all the time? I basically never ride without bike shorts because I don't want to get sore. And it happens in a hurry if you're not wearing something that works a little bit better for your seating. We always suggest that when people come in and are asking about new saddles, if they have a decent saddle, lots of times it's just the shorts or whatever they're wearing have the seams in the wrong places and are just chafing you where they shouldn't be.
That makes a lot of sense. I hope that helps Douglas. Appreciate your call. And James in Madison, comment from you. Hi, James.
Hey there. Comment and a question. First, I read an article very recently about a woman who was traveling the United States by bike, and she used a pool noodle to increase her profile so that she was much more visible and people didn't want to try to hit her as closely.
Oh.
So the noodle was, you know, it's bright, it's very noticeable, but at the same time, they're keeping a little, cars are keeping a little more distance because you're pushing that pool noodle, the cars away from the pool noodle.
I saw that too.
So the pool noodle sits across the bike?
Yeah.
Yeah, they pretty much, there's been a few articles about this and somebody else that wrote about riding like that. And they basically, you know, put the rack on the back of the bike and they strap the pool noodle at about 3 feet, you know, we were talking about the 3 feet earlier, to increase their profile between themselves and vehicles on the road.
So, and there's nothing illegal about that? Or
I don't think there's anything illegal. I will admit that it seems a little impractical because once you get back off of a road and back into, you know, a trail or something where maybe you don't need that 3 feet, aren't looking for that 3 feet, now you've got a 3-foot-wide profile that you've got to deal with. I think one of the things that we touched on earlier was talking about these daybright LED lights. And what we found is by having something that's bright enough that you can see in the daytime with a flash from a mile away is going to achieve a lot of what that pool noodle did, which is, you know, the motorists can see you from quite a bit of ways away, and we find they give us more space when we take some more of that safety into our own hands.
None of us ride without those at all anymore, day or night, headlight and taillight usually, because people do give you a bit more bit more space with those on.
So you just put them on automatically? Do you automatically put them on? Are you at least talk very strongly?
Most of us have multiple ones for all of our bikes.
Yeah. Anybody that comes into the shop, too, that's one of the things we talk about when we talk about, you know, what are the other things. And this is always something you want to think about when buying a bike is what are the other couple things to get your outfit. And, you know, Dale talked about comfort. It's bike shorts, it's helmet for protection, and it's the lights for prevention.
And gloves? A caller wondered if she should use gloves when she rides.
I always use them.
I always use them.
They protect that nerve in the palm of your hand. And if you ever go down, the first thing you do is stick out your hand. And that saves all that skin from getting scraped off of the palm of your hand if you ever should go down. So,
so do you guys have a website at Two Rivers Bicycle and Outdoors in Fort Atkinson?
It's tworiversbicycle.com. It's the number two and then rivers, plural, bicycle.com.
So two, the number two.
The number two, the digit two, riversbicycle.com.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. Would you guys come back and be with us again? Love to have you.
I'd love to be back.
We had a lot of callers that we didn't get to. Thanks for all the calls, and thanks to you guys both. I really appreciate your time here today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Brent Bauman and Dale Astrike are with Two Rivers Bicycle and Outdoor in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin. They know a whole lot about bikes and bicycling, and probably a darn good place to go if you want to get a bike. You're going to get a lot of help there, as you will in many bike shops across the country. One of the things I've found in most cases, people who work in bike shops are friendly and they want to be helpful and they want to do right by you. So that's important. Well, we're going to switch gears. We're staying with bicycling 50 years before Jackie Robinson played the Dodgers. Marshall Major Taylor broke the color barrier to become the fastest and most famous bicyclist in the world. We'll talk about a new book out. It's called The World's Fastest Man. Next on the Ideas Network.